How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. It's Sunday today. We got a lot of time for your phone calls, emails, text messages, the whole nine yards. The floor will be yours today. We've got a lot of weekend news we can talk about as well. We have got WWE wellness policy suspensions. We have got information on The Undertaker and the UK tour. The Undertaker is off the UK tour. He had been scheduled originally to do the whole tour, and then it dropped down to 3 days, then 2 days, then no days. And I think somewhere in there was another no days that ended up switching. So I think it's switched 5 times since this was all announced. Undertaker is now off the tour. I don't know what's going on, but it is a very weird situation. And one would think that something is going on. We could talk about what should be an impending, as in any time, sale of TNA Impact Wrestling. This has been talked about for a long time, and as mentioned on last night's Wrestling Observer Radio, we could have news on this literally at any moment. Probably not today because it's Sunday, but I'm talking the next couple of days, perhaps by the end of this week. So that's a story we can follow. I'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Studio line here today, if you want to give us a call, 425-488-0525, toll free. We are at 844-411-5411, and you can send text messages to 425-780-7566. We're going to kick it off after the break with Mike Sempervivi. Your calls. I'm at brian@wrestlingobserver.com, by the way, if you want to email me. All of that after the break. Observer Live here on the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of news to talk about here on the show today. We'll take your phone calls, text messages, emails, etc. All of the numbers are available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, as always. And we have got this from the new daily update, which is going to be up at WrestlingObserver.com somewhat shortly. Things at TNA are coming to the 11th hour regarding a deal. Obviously, Dixie Carter is attempting to make a deal that will allow her to maintain a majority ownership. But one way or the other, much of the company will be sold. There is one group that is the favorite to end up with the company, but there is one more long shot play that is apparently still alive. The favorite group does have two people with wrestling experience with TNA among its key people. With TV starting Thursday, there is a feeling in the office that whatever goes down will be happening soon and that there will be changes made. So that is the update on TNA. As we talked about last night on Observer Radio, over the last couple of days as well, for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, Dixie Carter obviously wants a majority stake in the company after it is sold. And there was one sale that was very close to taking place a year or two ago, and she refused to give away a majority ownership, and so the entire deal fell through. But now, they're in a situation where they are running out of money fast, and they've had investors paying for plane flights and that sort of thing. And so the feeling is that she may not have a leg to stand on, in the sense that if this deal falls through because she refuses to give up majority ownership, there may be no TNA because they don't have any money left. So it's going to be a very interesting situation, and it likely will come to a head over the next couple of days.
They've already blown it with one suitor, as you talked about. I don't see, boy, what a vanity. I know this can be, a lot of this has been vanity when it comes to Dixie Carter and not wanting to give up majority controlling interest in a company that you need to sell to keep it going is ridiculous. It was ridiculous the first time. It's even more ridiculous now. There are people there that, you know, they have jobs, and no one's promised a job in life. And if they all get fired or released or whatever happens, if things go under, yeah, they have to go out there like everybody else and go find themselves a new job. But it just would be unfortunate that somebody's ego would let it get in the way. You have proven that no matter how much money that you and your family have thrown at something, you're probably not the right person to run it. Everything has gotten to this point. Step aside. You know, pray that they'll let you be on TV. If you really want to be an actress and you really want to be on TV, go get a role doing something else. Stay, get a job doing dinner theater. I don't know what it is if you want to perform so badly, but why it's got to be at the expense of everybody else in that company after 15 years of this is insane.
Dinner theater, you say?
Sure, why not? Aunt Dixie does dinner theater?
I guess. Let's go to the phones.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, starring Dixie Carter.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Yes, Ryan.
Got any question about your WrestleMania trip I don't believe you brought up yet? And it's the Triple H when he came out. It seemed like he was like a leader of the Illuminati and he had like minions with him. Did anyone from the Empire make reference to like the symbols for this year's WrestleMania? I also heard there was like a Christian group like boycotting WrestleMania this year. Were they?
Okay, hold on. Don't hang up. I got too many questions for you. Number one, no. Nobody mentioned the Illuminati except you, Ryan. So what can you tell me about his minions that he came down with?
Well, wasn't it like the NXT guys? Weren't they the minions?
Well, yeah, they were playing the role of minions. That is correct.
Because I was thought I was misinterpreting what was going on. I didn't even ask Drew Galloway about it this week, and he didn't know anything about those being Illuminati.
You asked Drew Galloway about it, you say?
Yeah, he was on a podcast. I talked to him last week about it.
What did he have to say?
He said he was totally caught off guard by my question, didn't know anything about it.
He was totally caught off guard by your question. Now, tell me about this Christian group that allegedly boycotted WrestleMania, because I don't know anything about this one.
Well, I was on Facebook right before WrestleMania, and this thing came up about these Christians. There were only like three or four of them, but they were boycotting WrestleMania. I guess they were saying, like, if you watch WrestleMania, you'll go to hell.
There were three or four of them, and so you decided to bring it up here on this program.
Well, people were making a big deal about it. Maybe they were just downplaying it on Facebook, but the picture I saw, it looked like there were only like maybe three or four of them boycotting it.
How about that? Well, Ryan, I wish I could answer your questions better, but I don't know. So I want to thank you very much for the call.
I kind of chalked up the Triple H's ring entrance to Ghostbusters.
It was. She looked exactly like Zool.
Well, that's just, he had Vince Clortho and Zool. She was summoning them for Gozer. And it was that's probably why I think Illuminati may be. I think, you know, Ryan may be reaching there a little bit. Maybe Ryan and Dixie can do some sort of dinner theater.
You know, speaking of the Illuminati, I can't speak really on the entrance of Triple H, but I do know that the Ascension, there's a little bit of Illuminati symbolism to their outfits. The WWE, this is from WrestlingObserver.com, announced this morning that Adam Rose and Connor had both been suspended for 60 days for a second wellness program violation. All violations are supposed to be announced publicly. This was announced on the WWE corporate site. Suspension's effective immediately. It says here, the two most shocking things about this to me are, number one, they've each already been suspended once. I was unaware of that. And Adam Rose suspended first in 2013. Connor, his first suspension was in 2006, 10 years ago. Which means,
in a different stint.
That's right. This guy was employed. He ended up getting suspended way the hell back in 2006. They released him for 3 years. He returned and then managed to get himself suspended a second time. So it's a 60-day violation. And that does mean that for 99% of the cases, if you fail a wellness test and you leave the company and come back, you do not start over with a clean slate.
You aiming that at anybody in particular?
A lesson to be learned for all of you mid-carders and below out there who appear to be the only ones who ever get suspended.
Especially when a bunch of new talent comes up, so it makes it convenient that if you needed an excuse to maybe get rid of somebody, that something like this could play a part in that decision, even though it was, of course, not planned to be that way. But Oh, who knows? Too bad for both of them because, especially in Adam Rose's case, he's already gone through a gimmick change. He was Leo Kruger, went into the Adam Rose thing, worked in NXT, came up to the main roster way too fast and with way too many expectations for that character to play in a large building. And it's unfortunate that he's going to go because, you know, he's one of those guys, like it's like a Ty Dillinger. You know, you think about how long Gavin Spears has been in the system for, you know, and yes, he went out of it much like Connor did and then went back into it again. But it's like, you know, in a different universe, you could see Adam Rose being there for a long time because he is pretty good at what he does and he could probably have a place somewhere doing something. But now that may go away. And at his age, that's too bad. When it comes to Connor, you know, I don't think ROH is an option. God knows what could happen in Japan. You never know what could happen over there. But if he's released from WWE, if they decide to take that tact with him, then where does he go? And again, these guys do it to themselves by taking this stuff. Is the system fair? It's not up to me to decide that, but it's just too bad that it's happening.
Do you realize that the last four wellness policy failures have been Connor of the Ascension, Adam Rose of the Social Outcasts, Hornswoggle, and Ricardo Rodriguez?
Yeah, yeah.
That's dating back years. Those
literally
are the four most recent drug test failures in WWE.
Does stick out, too, when you hear about names in other sports getting caught. But then again, I guess somebody, a hardcore NFL fan, Brian, will point out to you a million and one cases where a guy got suspended or was hung out to dry and a million others weren't.
We're going to take some text messages after the break. Phone calls, the studio line, 425-488-0525, toll-free, 844-411-5411. And text messages, 425-780-7566. Back in a moment with more Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to go back to the phones here in a moment. I did get a very interesting tweet right here, which I had forgotten about, but thank you to Liger Busa for reminding me. There were people preaching outside the convention center during Access, he notes. And he is absolutely correct. I'd forgotten about that. Dave and I went over for WWE Access on Mania weekend. And there were, in fact, dudes on the street corner preaching about the Lord. And how
Manic
we were
street preaching?
We were all going to hell. And what was funny was there was a big, giant crowd of wrestling fans shouting back at the preachers, and they were shouting profanities and all sorts of objectionable things, and the preachers were screaming back at them. The wrestling fans were adding fuel to the fire, so to speak, and it just went back and forth. And I just thought, wow, look at what. And then we went in. Think about this: the street preachers are out there on the corner. We saw them. The funniest thing was as we walked past them, all of the wrestling fans that had been yelling at the preachers all of a sudden started yelling at Dave. They're chanting, Meltzer! Meltzer! And he goes into the building. We go inside. We go upstairs into the WrestleMania Superstore. We go over. We watch a full taping of NXT, which included the Shinsuke Nakamura versus the Perfect 10 match. We leave that. We go back downstairs, we go out the front door again, and the people are still yelling at the street preachers. This may have gone on longer than WrestleMania.
But did they go back to pointing out Dave as well? No false idols?
No,
just the one deity?
Nobody saw Dave the second time. It was like one guy that got the chant going, and everybody else got involved, and then apparently he left or something.
The kids won't have this. When I was growing up, I think it was Channel 20 in Washington that would play an airing of one of the WWF shows with Challenger Superstars or whatever. And then I think it was after that, they'd like Reverend Ike would come on, who was this preacher that was a prosperity preacher, you know, basically just telling you to empty out your pockets and give them to him. And he'd send you a little vial of healing oil as he drove around in his Rolls Royce that he had chauffeured for him. But the charisma that he would have in those promos, and it was something I hadn't thought about, you know, about all these guys that used to be on TV. And I know they have such, you know, separated channels now for all religious stations and stuff, but those would pop up kind of everywhere with guys cutting promos for the Lord. And I went down to New Orleans, and on Bourbon Street, as you can imagine, with all the debauchery that takes place there, good place to have, you know, if you're looking for God and you've hit bottom on Bourbon Street, you know, you hope for there to be some salvation. And there were guys there cutting promos. It was amazing to sit back and listen to them and think about guys like Dusty Rhodes and superstar Billy Graham and all of these other guys that also, because of the lack of entertainment and the lack of television way back when in their towns, these preachers and these carnivals would come around with these guys. And that's how a lot of people were able to get their promo style, was through guys like that and Thunderbolt Pattersons and those that would take from these preachers cutting promos for God.
Well, let's go to the phones. Toll-free line, you're on the air. What's going on?
Oh, this is Paul in Barbersville. How are you doing today?
Yes, Paul. What's going on?
Well, I finally got my reimbursement from WWN, which means we can talk about happier things, meaning Chikara.
I did tell you, Paul. I told you that it would happen.
I know.
Hope.
I was just, I don't know.
It's
I
not
get in a
hope,
bad
it's
mood
patience.
Last week.
It's a big difference. But go ahead, Paul.
Right. But anyway, two big news stories came out last week. On his podcast, The Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, Mike Quackenbush announced that he was cleared.
Excuse me, the Grizzly Bear Cafe?
Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe.
Grizzly Bear and Egg Cafe?
Yes, but no and.
Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe.
Yes, the fans call it the Grizz. He confirmed that...
Hold on a second, Paul. I'm not going to cut you off. I need to know more about this. Why is it called the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe? Why is that the name of his podcast?
Well, it's his podcast, and that's what he wanted to call it.
Fair enough.
Well,
I do not know if he ever explained it, but he actually very seldom talks about wrestling on it, but he confirmed that he did go to the doctors to see it, because he has not had a wrestling match in about 3 years. He injured his knee during a match with... I believe he was teaming with Jushin Liger in New York WrestleMania weekend a few years ago, and he had hung up his boots, but he will be wrestling Johnny Kidd in England when the promotion does their tour later this year, I believe in May. And that could actually be the last match either of these men have, so it could be their return. I believe it will be, indeed, Johnny Kidd's retirement match.
How about that?
That is the story, yes.
The other thing that was announced is that on May 7th, at an event called The Distant Future, Chikara is having their version of the Royal Rumble, or Ultimate Lucha, called The Infinite Gauntlet. A number of standby names from the promotion, such as... Worker Ant and Thunder Frog have been named for it. The former WWE Tag Team Champion Curt Hawkins, under another name, will be making his Chikara debut. And perhaps most interestingly, Sydney Bacabella has been revealed to be alive and well.
What?
We all thought he died. Yes, we thought he died last year. After
he was periscoping a couple days ago. Bizarre.
Well, yeah, he's alive. It's been confirmed.
Yeah. I mean, we actually had reports after Oleg the Usurper laid him out last year. Some of those notoriously tough Philly fans were actually taking selfies in the ring after the show with his prone body, and he never got up. So that's one of the reasons people thought he did not recover from this devastating move, but he is apparently back.
So that was their evidence? He was passed out in pro wrestling?
Well, it's like passing around that dead dolphin in South America or wherever it was, where it's like, hey, everybody take a selfie with it, and then they just left it there dying on the beach. That's what they did
to
him.
Well, it was alive, and they passed it around, and then it died, because everyone had to take a selfie with the animal. That could have happened to Sydney Bacabella. They should have told the fans to get out of there. Can we get this guy back in the water?
Do you think if like, you know, the story of Easter is true, and you believe that, and Jesus were resurrected today, he'd show up, make his return on Periscope like Sydney Bacabella did?
I don't think if the Lord returns, he's going to do it on Periscope. I want to thank you very much for the call. ChikaraPro.com, everybody, is the address if you want to find out more about any of these stories. And if anybody knows the story behind Mike Quackenbush's podcast name, I'd like you to let me know. This person says, what is WWE's goal with Tap Out? Do they really believe they can make a dent in the already competitive fitness clothing space? Yeah, that's why they bought it.
Well,
they really,
I have a different...
You know what?
I have a...
Hold on.
Go ahead.
At one point, they thought that they could break into the restaurant market. At one point, they thought that they could break into the football market. They've wanted to break into a million markets. They didn't do it just for fun. They thought that they would succeed. And if you've been looking at any of the photos on WWE.com, they are very much like UFC. Everybody is traveling around wearing Tap Out gear, including guys like Kevin Owens. So this is their plan. This is their idea.
It's obviously they hope that the brand's name still has some value whatsoever, but it is being positioned as a brand. I know that with JCPenney at least, I know they have a relationship with Kmart as well, but they rolled this thing out with JCPenney in that it just seems to be that it's going to be treated like, I don't know if Russell Athletic, they probably wouldn't be the right one, but you know, just generic gear, sweatpants, leisure wear. And I don't want to, you know, demean the quality of it. I don't mean that, but I mean a less expensive type of brand than your Adidas. I mean, Adidas, you can spend $60 to $100 on sweatpants, really good sweatpants. They're obviously not going for that. They're going for less expensive everyday wear. And I, of all the wacky ideas that they've had, I don't think this one, I have no idea what was put into it to buy the name or however this worked. But as far as how it's being positioned, of all the wacky things that they've done that have lost a ridiculous amount of money, I don't think this one's too bad, especially because look at the amount of merchandise that they do as far as, you know, sales with Cena shirts and things like that and the amount of stuff that they have out there. I think this one is a much safer play for them. I don't know if it'll work or not, but I think it's not that horrible.
This is far less wacky than a lot of other ideas they've had.
Oh, absolutely.
They sell so many t-shirts. Cena's making God only knows how much money off merchandise. I mean, here's the thing. The WWE restaurant was a bad idea. The WWE Football League, bad idea. But anything that you can promote on your television, I mean, their movie division would probably do better if they promoted it better on their TV, but they don't. But if you can get guys out there wearing Tap Out stuff on television, you put your baby faces in Tap Out gear, you have them going around, you do commercials for it on the Raw and SmackDown shows, you'll make a lot of money. And the deal has got them into places like JCPenney's and other places. So this is far from the worst WWE idea that they've had in terms of non-wrestling businesses. And really, it is a wrestling business. It's another arm of their t-shirt merchandise division. We're going to head to a break. And when we come back, yes, more on the Illuminati, plus your phone calls, emails, text messages, etc. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Studio line, 425-488-0525, toll free, 844-411-5411, and text messages, 425-780-7566. Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. What's up?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Hey, Jim, what's up?
Okay. I was watching ROH on Saturday, and they're doing some shows from the Kurikan Hall down in Japan when they had the show in February. One thing I'm not figuring out, though, they had a match where Delirious is wrestling, okay? Well, they acted like he's never wrestled on ROH before, and the man's been with ROH since 2004. Why are they doing that?
What do you mean they acted like he's never wrestled before?
They said it was his first time on ROH TV.
Under Sinclair, that might be true.
Actually, yeah, I think that might be true.
Well, I mean, he's been on the other. They're just saying it's for Sinclair. They're not talking about when they had on the other networks.
They're probably talking about the current television deal. And
uh-huh.
Yeah, I think this would be the first time he's ever wrestled on Sinclair TV.
Okay, I thought that might have been it, because I thought to myself, I said, he's been on with ROH since 2004. I said, I just want to get that cleared up. Hopefully, I saw something today. He was talking about the NXT women the other day. I think Athena Reese may be going to wrestle Asuka before too long. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not checked the spoilers, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, she's had a wrist injury. She'd been out for a while, and like I said, she's a heck of a lot better than Eva Marie, I'll tell you that.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Jim. Do you watch Stardom?
Stardom? On YouTube, yeah.
You do watch it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'm not going to reveal any spoilers because people get very upset, but the Stardom, there's several Stardom girls that are going to be debuting in Lucha Underground next season.
I know that.
Oh, I shouldn't. I tried to scoop you, Jim. I should have known better.
I'll tell you exactly. It was Lo Shirai, Kerry Hojo, and Mayo Iwatani. I think that's how you pronounce the name.
Close enough, Jim.
Yeah, it's going to be some good shows coming up at Lucha Underground. I can just sit there and just that and ROH, I won't even move. They're just so good. I can sit there and just, I can watch them all the time.
Jim, is this or is this not the best time ever to be a women's wrestling fan?
It is, man. They're coming out all around. There's a new promotion out now called World Women's Revolution. They've got all kind of promotions now. Shimmer's even putting out email addresses for seasoned women wrestlers to come and try out with them.
Man, it's the glory days.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Can I go Bobby Heenan here for a minute?
Sure, go for it.
Okay.
With all of this women's wrestling that's going on right now, who's doing all the cooking?
Oh, Mike.
I kid.
You don't want to hear it, Jim. He was so sexist.
And I was going to say something nice about it. So I totally agree with Mike, what he said earlier about Dixie Carter. I mean, come on. I mean, if the company's going to go under, if you're not going to give your power away... That's a no-brainer. You do what you
You'd think
so people can have jobs.
You huh? would think.
Well, and make something back. Your family's never going to get back with all they put into it, but try to get something back. And just if you have this much pride in this thing, let it continue on and keep going. Whether the new owners change the name or not, you can always say, if it wasn't for me and my family, this would have never come to be and it wouldn't be here today, and try to figure out some false pride that way out of it. But, you know, it's one less place to work. As much as TNA will drive you nuts and as much as people have given up on it altogether, a place, you know, one less place for people to work is one less place for people to work. And we don't need that in this day and age.
All righty, let's go to the studio line. You are on the air. What's going on?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
Yes, Ed.
Okay, first off, I'd like to thank everyone who sent me well wishes on Facebook or text about my near-death experience Saturday morning when I was hit by a drunk driver and my car ended up in someone's front yard.
What?
So,
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, because you're not a good friend, Brian.
No, it's because I don't go on Facebook unless I have to. What happened?
I was drawing my paper out, and I was, you know, going to the different blocks, and a guy ran a stop sign, hit me, and put my car. My car ended up in someone's front yard. But luckily, I have a very good car, and I came out of it very unscathed. I'm not even sore today, but
I'm
well
definitely
padded.
Not paying that guy.
Well padded, right?
Yeah, well padded. Yeah. All the muscle on me that saved me.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Like Magnum TA, right? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But you guys and Jim were talking about the glory days of women's wrestling, and I agree to you with that, but I'll tell you what was not the glory days of wrestling was this past Shine I pay-per-view. Unfortunately, because of injuries and other commitments, they had a lot of girls, a lot of inexperienced girls, and it was not the best Shine show, but I will give high marks to Rachel Ellering, who made her debut on Shine, and she actually lived up to all of Lance's hype. She's very poised. And I see a very bright future for Rachel Ellering. I thought she did a great job. I don't know if Mike's seen her or not.
Not really, no. No, nothing of any value. But hey, pretty good genetics, though, too, that she has.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
what's
I
that supposed
her
to mean?
Dad.
She looks like her dad?
No,
that's hardly a positive, Mike.
Hey, a great physical condition. So that's what I was talking about. This is where your mind goes, being as sexist as you are and all.
It's not even that. She did powerlifting, so she built this frame through hard work and dedication. And
just like the old man.
Okay, I have one more question for Mike, because I know, Brian, you probably haven't seen this. But, Brian, you've been talking a lot about Pistol Pez Watley and Chasta Watley and the turn on the Boogie Woogie Man, and you said how awesome that was. Did you ever see the angle with Pistol Pez Watley, the Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer, and the Junkyard Dog on Georgia Championship Wrestling?
I have not.
Okay, well, Mike, you should tell him all about that, because it was even better than the turn on Jimmy the Boogie Woogie Man Valiant.
Oh, God, I can remember the Boogie Woogie Man turn a lot better because there was heat in my house over it, whereas the other one there was not. I remember it was that my mother did not like wrestling, and it was on, and that angle was taking place in front of that worldwide set, and Jimmy Valiant, they're doing the promo, and, you know, he's the best black wrestler, and Chaska turns on him, or Pez at that time turns on him. And I think it was my brother or somebody was at, why did he get mad on him for being a black wrestler and for saying that? And it was just another reason for my mom to want to turn this off and absolutely hate it. She couldn't stand it. But my dad liked it, so I was able to continue on watching wrestling. But yeah, that I just remember that being one of those. That and Ronnie Garvin getting burned with the fireball from Cornette. I remember being, those were two things that just my mother could not handle, this lowbrow entertainment.
My buddy Dave Gray was over the other day, and I put on some Georgia. I put on the NWA WCW show where the turn occurred, where Chaska was born, turned on Jimmy Valiant. And it started with that Jimmy Valiant promo where he's ranting and raving, and he says that Pez Watley's the best black athlete in wrestling today. And Pez Watley gives him the look, and then he attacks him, and he beats the hell out of him. And anyway, as all of this is going on and Dave Gray's laughing his ass off watching this thing, my mother-in-law is sitting right there making some headbands for my infant child. And I thought, oh man, what must she be thinking about this? But she never said anything. She just sat there all the way through it. She did actually make one comment. After the turn, there was a Midnight Express match with Wee Willie Wilkins and other jobber. And Jim Cornette's doing commentary, and Cornette is just spouting out one wacky one-liner after another, and I'm not sure which one it was that he spouted out, but he said it, and my mother-in-law just said, I remember that one. It must have been some sort of insult from when she was younger. And then she continued going about her business, and Dave laughed his ass off, and we all had a good old time. Let's go to the phone. Studio line, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, what's up?
Yeah,
I don't know what's funny, Mike. We're being friendly here to the callers. Go ahead, caller.
I was in that suite. But anyway, listen, the whole thing with TNA, it's really such a shame that it has come down to this, you know, with basically Dixie Carter. Look, we all have known for years now. She's kind of been like the anchor dropping that boat and just keeps sinking it and sinking it and sinking it. And if the rumors are to be true, you know, with Jim Ross talking to a few people recently after he got on the Access New Japan Pro Wrestling stuff, that places like Fox Sports and Spike, they do want wrestling back on there, but they won't go anywhere near TNA because, you know, because Dixie Carter's the person, you know, just holding everything back, you know. You know, she really needs to just let go of the idea that she knows anything there is about wrestling. We all know her story. She didn't know anything about wrestling. I guess like a lot of people, hey, I own a wrestling company, so all of a sudden I'm like a genius in this. And it kind of also shows that for a while now, I don't know how Ring of Honor works, so let's exclude them. Like, and also let's exclude WWE, places like New Japan Pro Wrestling, CMML, the places in Mexico. But unless you have somebody who actually knows anything about wrestling, chances are, you know, your company's just going to go down. You know, I live in New York, and there's been so many independent companies around here that have sprung up overnight, and they just get sucked right back down because the people running them don't really know what they're doing. You know, it's really such a shame that's happening with a company like TNA. It means that a lot of people are going to lose jobs, and we as wrestling fans obviously don't want to see that.
Actually, let me cut you off here. if this gets sold and these new investors have got money, then we may end up with more people in wrestling having jobs because then they can hire some people.
Well, like you said, though, that depends if it goes through. And you got to ask yourself this, and you guys have been asking it. Will Dixie Carter let it happen? Will her ego
finally... Well, she has to now.
She has to, yes, but again, will she? You know, she's shown how stubborn she is. You know, your buddy there said, her ego is too big because she's like, well, you know what? I got the money. You know, I'm a successful businesswoman. I think I could turn around a wrestling product. And it goes to show you that a lot of people really don't know. Wrestling is such a big different monster compared to every other business. That's why, listen, I don't watch WWE anymore after the Raw at the WrestleMania. I said that was going to be my last WWE show. But the one thing you would give them credit for, there's wrestling people running it, you know, and that's how they've been able to stay afloat all these years, as well as, you know, just doing the things that they do.
You know, I want to thank you very much for the call. I got two things to say. Number one, Dixie Carter was somebody who didn't understand wrestling. And when she got into wrestling, the first thing she did was surround herself with people like Vince Russo to teach her the wrestling business. And you wonder why everything turned out the way that it did. And as I noted earlier, the difference this time from last time when they were trying to sell and they couldn't is last time they still had money. Last time they could say no. And it's looking strongly like this time they can't say no. And it's all going to come down to, does she give away majority ownership or not? And we may be at the point now where she has to. Where either she gives away majority ownership in the company or the company goes under. And I don't think she's going to let the company go under. So my gut is that this time, this will be the time that they sell and that she will no longer be the majority owner of the company. But we will see. A lot of rumors going around. We talked about it last night on Observer Radio. I'm sure we'll talk about it over the next couple of days as well. And we shall be back in just a moment with more Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We got hour one in the books here, but we got another hour coming up here on Sports Byline USA. A lot of news to talk about here on the show we haven't even had a chance to get into yet. We're a couple of weeks away from WWE Payback. We can talk about that as well as the WWE Tag Team Tournament. I've seen all the television, SmackDown, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor. I've not seen TNA yet, but we've been talking plenty about TNA today anyway. We got news on The Undertaker when we come back from the break as well. And, of course, this past weekend, it's been a big weekend for mixed martial arts, as we not only had the UFC on Fox show, but Rising 1, the third show, although it's called Rising 1, took place last night with a tag team grappling match in the main event. I've not seen this show, but for those of you wondering, the main event saw Vanderlei Silva and Kiyoshi Tamura go to a draw with Kazushi Sakuraba and Hideo Tokoro. That was the tag team grappling rules main event of that show. Also got some information on a new opponent for Fedor Emelianenko. So we got a lot of stuff coming up in hour two. Want to throw out the phone numbers here if you're listening for the first time. Maybe you're listening on satellite radio. These are the numbers to call, not whatever you see on the screen. Studio line is 425-488-0525. Toll free, phone number is 844-411-5411. And you can send your text messages, which we're going to get into after the break, to 425-780-7566. All of these numbers available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Take a break, everybody. We'll be right back. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. We are here for another hour today. Taking your phone calls, emails, text messages. Studio line 425-488-0525. Toll free 844-411-5411. And text messages to 425-780-7566. 7566. We'll pick those up after the first commercial break. Got a lot of news to talk about here today. We had a lot of news in the first hour. I have retweeted a photo of Ed's car. He was involved in a hit and run on Friday. If you want to see the state of this vehicle, maybe it was Lance, because Lance complained that the front seat of his car was so dirty. He went to take him out during his paper route.
See, all part of the Illuminati stuff that you spoke up earlier in the broadcast.
Hey, I'm glad you brought that up. So Ryan from Cumberland, because Ryan is a conspiracy theorist, and as I have mentioned many, many times on both this program and After Dark Radio, and we got a new After Dark Radio coming up here tonight, you gotta stay off YouTube. There's so much bad stuff on YouTube. There's so many crazies. Anybody can make a video on YouTube. And in fact, Ryan has sent me a YouTube video looking at the Illuminati symbolism at WrestleMania. It's called WrestleMania 32 Illuminati Exposed.
Oh my.
Now, I have not watched this yet. Maybe if I watch it somewhere, it will be explained to me why any of this matters. What was the point of the Illuminati symbolism at WrestleMania? I don't know. But maybe it's in this video here. Maybe Ryan can email me or tweet me and tell me what the point of all of this is. When everybody has these theories, I need to know what's the point. Back in a moment with more, including your phone calls. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, and a lot of stuff to talk about here on the show today. This person on Twitter, by the way, sent me a message, and they said, regarding your quote that anybody can make a video on YouTube, that's what they want you to think.
Oh.
Hadn't thought of that. Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. What's up?
How are you doing?
Say that again. What's your name?
Drew. I'm in Daytona.
Drew, what's happening?
Not much. I just wanted to say I haven't been following it recently, but I was a fan of TNA back when it was still at the Asylum and the Fairgrounds at Nashville, and Dixie Carter was just someone who used to stand out in the audience with a beer, and of course my first reaction was, oh, that's a kind of attractive woman to be here at a wrestling event, but anyway, as time went on...
Little did you know.
Yeah, exactly. And then I saw she was on TV, and I'm like, well, as long as she doesn't take it to the extreme with this, it could still work, and now TNA is what it is. And here's what I'll say about her. She went to Ole Miss. She's about the epitome of a spoiled Southern rich girl. And, you know, I think this was something that her daddy bought a business for her to run. And she just strikes me, despite the fact that a lot of jobs are at stake and they could still put on a good product, that she would rather just see the company go under than relinquish her control. That just strikes me as what she's like. And do you think there's any hope TNA has of getting this, or do you think that she's just going to, her ego is going to get in the way?
Well, listen, I do think that at the end of the day, I don't think she's going to let the company go under. So if you had to, if you put a gun to my face and you said, Brian, what do you think is going to happen? I would bet that she relinquishes her control and the company survives on. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that would be my guess. I just can't see her being so stubborn that they end up completely going out of business. Because if they go out of business, she doesn't have control anyway. So you may as well relinquish control, but your company is still alive and you're still a part owner of the whole thing. You could still be Dixie Carter. I mean, maybe you're not going to be on TV, but you still own a wrestling company.
And you hold on to that narrative forever. I mean, even if she's out completely in this deal, if it wasn't for her, damn it, she kept the thing alive and kept people employed and in jobs, and you can spin that, because otherwise, you're just a wrestling company that got a bunch of money poured into it and died. At least this way, gets to your legacy. If this is so concerning to you, your legacy, you want to continue on. That's the only way you can do it.
That's cool. I really would like to see a competition for the WWE be out there, though, just whether it's Ring of Honor or this or something. But they need to get some company with some major financial backing from someone before they can really compete, I feel. But it could happen.
You know what the competition with WWE is?
It may happen this week.
The competition with WWE, though, is, look, it is impossible. Again, unless magic drops out of the sky and somebody with billions of dollars is willing to, I mean, basically do what WCW and what Ted Turner did, which was, this is going to be on my networks, come hell or high water. I'm always going to give it, you know, deferential treatment and pour all of this money behind it. And it's going to be here no matter what. Unless somebody's willing to do that, you're not going to be able to compete with WWE ever. So the competition for WWE is to erode their audience. And the only way you can do
Here's
that is having...
There's a problem with your theory. You're right, but that promotion, there are already two promotions that exist like that. One of them is Ring of Honor, which is owned by Sinclair, which has affiliates all over the country. And the other is Lucha Underground, which is owned by Robert Rodriguez and El Rey, essentially. And the problem is, there's still a budget.
No, Brian, no, that's not my point. My point is, even if you do that, which is what they're doing, you're still it's going to take years and decades of you to build up enough to even try to really truly be on equal footing because of all the things that WWE has at its disposal that people every day don't see and we don't talk about every day on this show, from, you know, political help to TV inroads, all of these things that it takes a lot of time to build up. To me, the only way wrestling, quote unquote wrestling, can compete with WWE is basically erode their audience by having so many niches out there to go to. The problem with that is, can you survive in your echo chamber without being owned by a Sinclair Broadcasting or something like that as you try to build up your own niche? Because, again, it's going to take too long. The game has changed too much. It is not possible. I guess technically it is, but it's just purely a psychedelic pipe dream that something can happen where you can truly, quote, compete with WWE.
No one can.
You can't do it. You just can't.
No one can, and the reason is all of the hardcores, for the most part, love Lucha Underground, and the hardcores love Ring of Honor, and even TNA has its own hardcores. But the thing that these all have in common, New Japan, same thing. You have all of these American subscribers to the New Japan world. But the one thing that they all have in common is they're all niche products. And as angry as you and me and all of the listeners to this niche radio show get about WWE, the reality is, to your average casual fan, if they're going to watch wrestling, they're only going to watch WWE. Ring of Honor is on my ABC affiliate, Channel 4. I don't even have to have cable to watch Ring of Honor. And it's like that, and granted, it's not the best time slot, but all over the country, Ring of Honor is on broadcast television, all over this country. But they still have a limited audience because for a lot of people, casual wrestling fans, they flip through the channels, they see ROH, they keep flipping because there aren't the colors and the music and the superstars and everything that they notice from watching WWE. So you could have a crazy trillionaire. Donald Trump could open up his own wrestling promotion.
It'd be huge.
And he could get it on Spike TV and everything like that, and you're still only going to draw a niche audience. You can hope to get a niche audience of around 1.5 million people, which TNA had when they were at their peak. But the idea that you're going to convert all of the WWE fans who grew up and that's all they know of pro wrestling into watching another company, unless you actually have John Cena, Randy Orton, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and all of these names, it's just not going to happen. The best you can do is just hope for the best. You know what the best you can do is, Mike?
What's that?
The best you can do is not lose money.
Yeah.
The best you can do is turn a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the whole idea behind Ring of Honor. Do you want to know why?
Kind of the whole idea behind business.
Well, obviously. But you want to know why Ring of Honor has like a new, brand new lighting grid and why they've got some upgrades into their production, besides the fact that Sinclair just has more faith in them now, because they're not losing tons and tons and tons of money. Lucha Underground is losing so much money. TNA has lost so much money. I mean, at least these promotions like Shine and Shimmer, I mean, and PWG and Mid-Atlantic whatever. Point of this is
CWF Mid-Atlantic.
CWF Mid-Atlantic, thank you.
Oh, man.
I met the promoter over WrestleMania weekend.
I hope he shaded you.
He buried you. But anyway, the reality of the situation is all of those companies are breaking even and or making a small profit. And that's why they're still in business. Because at the end of the day, this is a business. And for all of you out there who grew up with Twitter and Amazon and all of these companies that have never made a dime, yet they're still around, and thus you think that that's how business works, it's not! It is if you're Twitter and Amazon, but if you're the local mom-and-pop wrestling company, if you don't make money, you're going out of business. So, you ain't going to compete with WWE, but you can compete with yourself. And you can run a promotion that draws fans and turns a profit, and everybody goes home happy at the end of the night, and you build for your next event. And that's wondrous! That's wonderful! I have tons of respect for the little mom-and-pop organization that manages to turn a small profit every month, much more than the promotion that has sunk $45, $60 million or whatever over the last 14 years, and now they're about to find a new buyer. We're going to head to a break. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. As Mike noted to me during the break, Todd Grisham, who I once had a very rude nickname for,
his
commentary on that Chris Benoit DVD. But anyway, he says, tonight during the 9 Eastern edition of Sports Center, Scott Coker is going to join him to discuss Kimbo Slice's next opponent, which I believe is going to be the Colossus, Josh Thompson. What a fight.
James Thompson,
I'm sorry. It's a different Colossus, Josh.
Actually,
Thompson.
Knowing Bellator, it would be James's, like, you know, second cousin Josh or something like that.
Actually, knowing Bellator, it could be Josh Thompson. He's under contract.
See, that's good point. It was going to be Fabio Maldonado, but they ruled him too scary. Plus, he was already booked against Fedor anyway.
Yeah, Fedor versus Fabio Maldonado.
Sure.
I can't Filthy Tom just go to Japan and fight Fedor. He'd destroy
him. Oh, he's got plenty of time to do that. Look, Tom is how old?
32, I believe.
Way too young. He can walk 10 years from now when he is completely done with the UFC and taking him to court for promotional malpractice when it comes to his career, and he finally gets justice on all these judges that keep ripping him off and trying to hold him down and out of the top five, frankly, where he belongs.
Well, that ain't UFC's
fault. Much less the top 10, all of these idiot writers out there that keep holding our man down. Even at, way past all of that stuff, he'll be able to walk into Japan, have a ring entrance that is fitting of a man like himself, and go out there and perform until he's at least 60. I'm sure of it. And even, can you imagine a Generalissimo Takada, Tom Lawler matchup? I can. It's wonderful, and I can see it on an Inoki show on New Year's Eve.
This person here says, what is new in the CM Punk lawsuit? I saw it goes to trial in June. Any idea why Eamon, I guess is how you pronounce it, the doctor, is still going after Colt Cabana? Thoughts as a journalist that does interviews. It bothers me that he is going after an interviewer. If Punk lied, that is on Punk. Yeah, I don't know why they're going after Colt Cabana. Maybe there's something I don't understand about this whole thing, but he just asked a bunch of questions. If Punk lied in the interview, which is what the doctor is claiming, then as this person notes here, that's on Punk. That's not on Colt. Colt asked a question. Right?
Yeah, but if you ask me a question, and I don't know why. As the facilitator, maybe it's just it's spite. It's hit everybody, and then you know the things will break off as the proceedings go on, and maybe it just ends up being the doctor directly against CM Punk. I don't know. I don't know how they're looking at Colt Cabana, I guess, being the facilitator of this or being in on it, I guess maybe that's what they're claiming is this was done intentionally by two best friends, both of whom worked in WWE and know how we do things and know we would never do anything at all like what they are claiming. And you're both in on this and we're going to, you know, get you need your comeuppance, I guess.
This person says, I guess he was out front during the whole deal at WrestleMania Access, but he says the fans gave the soapbox preachers the what treatment? Terrible. Let's go to the phone.
Seems
studio.
Seems like a waste of time.
Toll-free line, you're on the air. What's up?
How are you going to get somebody that's filled with the spirit and go back?
Hello.
Oh, what's up, guys? This is Eric in the Go?
Yes, Eric.
So I kind of like where they're going with Payback. I like this Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles feud just on the sheer fact that they've been kept away from each other, which to me is an old school mentality we don't see much anymore. It's a fresh matchup. They've never been in the ring together. They haven't done a bunch of mixed tags. Now, watch that. I've said that. Watch them do that now. But what can you guys say about the effectiveness of keeping guys separated until that big money match? Build anticipation, especially in the current climate where the same guys fight each other all the time.
I think it's a terrible idea. I think you should put men together on every show leading up to the pay-per-view.
Well, I sort of meant like in
I was kidding.
Together,
of course it's a good idea to keep them apart. Yes. The problem is this was easier back in the old days. I mean, now you've got 5 hours of first-run WWE television. You've got all of this SmackDown and Raw. You got Main Event if you watch that, if you want to see the Ryback lately, he's on Main Event. You've got these pay-per-views that come up every single month. It's very, very hard to not have guys, it's very hard to have that match that nobody's seen. Unless it's somebody like The Undertaker who wrestles once a year, then obviously you can do it. But if you've got a roster full of guys and they're working on virtually every single show, I mean, Eric and the Go, you know that between now and May 1st, which is when Payback takes place, they got two more shows. You know that Roman Reigns and AJ Styles are probably going to be in a match together.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Just keep them two. Don't let them touch before the pay-per-view. Build anticipation. No mixed tag. They do this all the time. This is the one chance where they can do something different.
How often do they do something different, Eric?
A few times a year.
Well, this may be the one time. You can cross your fingers.
All right, guys. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. What else have we got here?
Hope.
You know, this tag team tournament, I hadn't noticed this, but Vinny pointed it out as he was reviewing the Raw show. If you look at this tag team tournament, it sucks. So far, we have got the Usos versus the Social Outcasts, a match that went 4 minutes, and if I recall correctly, it sucked. We had the Vaudevillains versus Goldust and Fandango. Let me say that one more time for those of you that didn't watch SmackDown. The Vaudevillains faced Gold Dust and Fandango in a match that went 2 minutes and sucked. We had Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy against The Ascension in a match that went 4 minutes and kind of sucked. It was kind of okay, but it was 4 minutes. What do you expect? And then we had the Lucha Dragons versus the Dudley Boys, which went 3 minutes and sucked because they got rid of Kalisto with a fake injury angle, and then the other three guys botched up the finish. So we've had four matches in this tournament, and they've all sucked. Now, the good news is, if you look at the semifinals, which I guess are taking place tomorrow, we've got the Usos against the Vaudevillains, and we've got Enzo and Cass versus the Dudleys. And those should be good matches. And I guess we'll find out. You think they're going to do the NXT finals? The Enzo and Colin Cassidy against the Vaudevillains?
I would. Because to me, the Vaudevillains, I think, have less go than Enzo and Big Cass do.
They have
so
less go than
not,
Eric
actually.
In the go.
That they will have, we're not sure about that. We'll have to see how they do in the main event, the same way Eric will main event this show sometimes, I guess, sort of, kind of, not really. But look, why not? Enzo Cass go over, great, they win. Maybe they get beaten up by the I don't know how this is going to work with Anderson and Gallows. You know, I would assume that they're going to be on a path for the Usos, but I guess we'll have to see what happens there. But what did you expect out of this? The Crockett Cup? I mean, it is 2016 WWE. If the Global Cruiserweight Series, you know, for NXT sucks, then we have a problem. But this being, you know, weak programming on, you know, still, even though it's SmackDown is better than it has been.
What did I expect?
On still a weak show.
What did I expect?
Really, what did you expect? Did you? Yes. You weren't having any hope.
The fact that I even have to be asked, what did I expect? They're doing a tournament.
Yeah.
Why even do a tournament if you're just going to do a bunch of nothing matches that suck? Why not just say...
Because did you...
Why not just somehow arrange a match between two teams and the winners get the tag team title match? Why do a tournament that sucks? You want to know why? Because...
You're looking at this all wrong.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
My happy mood gimmick is over. Listen to me. This is to determine a number one contender for the tag team titles. What does that very statement mean? It means that we're supposed to care about
the tag team
titles. And that we're supposed to care about tag teams. Okay, so if we're supposed to care, why would you do a tournament and we've already had four matches and they've all sucked? It defeats the purpose of having a tournament of trying to get over tag teams. Like I said, maybe the semifinals will be good.
This whole thing has been rooted in a way that the New Day could have some time to talk about something, and they could have a graphic with them in the corner as cartoonish unicorns or riding a unicorn as the pictures of the teams are up on the big screen. I mean, let's be honest. That's what this is about. And to get to the end where whatever the final match is going to be, the match that actually matters that takes place with the teams – is probably going to be pretty good. But much like a lot of their TV, all of the lead up to it is going to be this. And this is what they do. ROH tag teams, these are not.
Mike, do you realize that Raw is 3 hours and 15 minutes long?
Oh, I know.
Are you aware of that?
I know.
Okay, so on Raw, which is 3 hours and 15 minutes long, last week, they did two matches, two of these tag team tournament matches. And in a show that was 3 hours and 15 minutes, one of the matches got 3 minutes, and one of the matches got 4 minutes. So, yes.
Yeah, but guess what? There's a bunch of guys in those matches that I don't want to see wrestle for really any longer than that, so I don't care in this case.
Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Danny here says, apparently this article claims you can trademark a hashtag, so is it possible that WWE will trademark hashtag Bullet Club, and that's what they will be referred to, because there was a reference on WWE.com to the hashtag Bullet Club.
Oof.
As a non-trademark attorney, here's my thoughts. I don't think that you can trademark a term that somebody else has trademarked, but get around it by adding hashtag to the front.
No.
Meaning, I don't think that I can go and trademark hashtag WWE and then call myself the hashtag WWE.com. It doesn't work like that. I think they were trying to get around it somehow. I think maybe one hand didn't know what the other hand was doing. Maybe they have swung a deal with New Japan, and they're going to be using the Bullet Club here in the United States. I don't think so. Well, we're going to find out soon enough. They made no mention on television of the words Bullet Club. They called them Anderson and Gallows. And it may have just been, there's a million things on that website, that WWE.com website, where the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing, if that makes sense.
No, and you could see New Japan in the last, with their last show, the Tama Tonga, and I don't know what the situation is going to be with Fale and Yujiro. They seem to have them together as the, you know, the pimp and the bodyguard sort of deal. You have the Gorillas of Destiny, the gods now, or Tama Tonga and Camacho, his brother. who's now over there. They're the IWGP Tag Team Champions. And then it's the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. And it's not that they're not together. It's not like they've dropped the name, but it seems to be that they may be beginning the process of distancing themselves from it. So if it does happen to appear in WWE, which from WWE's point of view, I could see with the amount of shirts that are already out there and the fact that they are so known that they would want to, if it doesn't cost them too much, you might as well, you sign these guys, you're paying them whatever money you're paying for all these guys. If you look at, if you combine Nakamura, Anderson, Gallows, and Styles all together, you know, you're already throwing a bunch of money at them. You know, if it doesn't cost you too much more, why not go ahead and do that? As far as the trademark goes, there is precedence as far as a football league when it comes to this, in that when the Baltimore Colts skipped town, went to Indianapolis, it left a big wound in Baltimore, and they still, it took a long time for them to get over that, but as they were waiting for something to happen with the NFL, the CFL decided to expand into America, and the Montreal Alouettes were moved. I forget exactly how it went down, but a guy by the name of Spanos, I think, was the one who moved them down to Baltimore, where they tried to get around the name of the Baltimore Colts trademark being owned by Jim Irsay and being tied up with the NFL. And they tried the Baltimore CFL Colts, to which the NFL obviously claimed gimmick infringement, and the Colts went after them, and the court made them change it, and they ultimately became the Baltimore Stallions. So to try to manipulate that way, I don't know if you're able to do that, especially not in a field that you're both working in. Again, I'm not an attorney either, but there's at least sort of a case like this that exists.
Let's go to the studio line. You are on the air. What's up?
What's up, Brian and Mike? It's Chris from Nacogdoches.
Hey.
Hey, on as far as the hashtag Bullet Club goes, there was no mention on TV by the announcers of Bullet Club. But however, a few segments later, you know how they scroll tweets on the bottom of various fans?
Yes.
And this also may be of a case of the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing. But they did scroll at least one tweet that used hashtag Bullet Club on there. And that was probably, I don't know, a segment or two after Anderson Gallows.
Tweet me the same information, or is this a crazy coincidence?
No, I didn't. I just.
Wow, somebody just texted me those exact words practically.
Really? Really? Well, yeah. There's at least one hand with the right hand knows what the left hand is doing, I guess.
Well, you know, they have somebody that puts the Twitter scroll on the bottom of the screen, and that person may not have even known what was going on. I mean, I've seen...
Well, true, yeah. True. I mean, but there was an example of... I mean, Bullet Club did appear on the TV show, so technically. Although, yeah, you're right, it's probably a matter of that person didn't really know what's up.
Well, we'll see what happens. Everybody's been asking about it. I would be very surprised if they called him the Bullet Club, but...
Me too.
I mean, they called him Shinsuke Nakamura, so he's the King of Strong Style, so I rule nothing out, but...
That did surprise me, the King of Strong Style. I didn't know... I figured that there would be a copyright on that from New Japan somehow.
Apparently, there are going to be some copyrights coming up soon, I would guess, after this.
It's funny how things will slip through because, like,
Thanks, Chris. It
came up with Alberto El Patron. You know, he said it in every promo, you know, the Alberto the Boss, and kind of playing off, I think it was both Pablo Escobar, I can't remember who exactly had that, you know, designation, but, you know, they used that for a long time.
I use it myself in the kids' class.
Well, that's, yeah, and nobody, you probably do, don't you? And nobody, you know,
or
said
El
anything
Jefe.
About that. So.
That's my other one that I use.
Yeah, say El Jefe?
Yeah.
Terrible.
And this from WrestlingObserver.com. WWE announced today that Undertaker, this was yesterday, by the way, would not be appearing on the UK tour after all.
What?
The Undertaker's status has changed constantly over the past week, but the announcements yesterday that Triple H and Shane McMahon would be appearing on the tour is because both were going in place of Undertaker. Undertaker was originally going to do the entire tour, then his schedule was cut to 3 dates, then to 2 dates, then to 0 dates. I believe at one point there was also another one in there where he was not going, and then he was going. So I believe that's 5 changes now. Show in Newcastle on Wednesday, which was going to be his only house show, was announced as having a Triple H versus Dean Ambrose main event, plus AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho and Kalisto versus Ryback versus Alberto Del Rio for the U.S. title. Website also listing Kane, Eric Rowan, Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens, King Barrett, etc. for the show. Obviously, Adam Rose off the show due to his 60-day suspension for a wellness policy violation.
I want everybody out there to not send them to me, but to definitely send them to Brian. All of your best Illuminati conspiracy theories on what is taking place with the Undertaker.
Dude,
right,
something's
now
going on. I don't know what it is, and maybe I'm wrong, but this is really weird because we haven't heard. Do you remember a couple of years ago where there was an Undertaker match and then they did a match on SmackDown following WrestleMania and the Shield put the Undertaker through a table and Undertaker was injured?
Yeah, I think it was 2 years in a row they did something like that to make sure that he was gone till at least SummerSlam.
No, but he was really injured.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, I do remember that, yes.
Yes. Now, we heard that he was really injured. I have not heard anybody say that the Undertaker was injured after the Hell in a Cell match. All I know is, here's what I know, everybody. Here's what I know. And you can try and figure out what's going on because I don't even know. But I have heard from people who also presume something's happening. They announced an Undertaker-Shane McMahon match where if Shane won, he got control of Raw. And if Shane won, Undertaker would not have another WrestleMania match. They build it up, build it up, build it up, build it up, build it up. Everybody presumes the way it's built, being built up, Shane has to win. WrestleMania comes, they do the match, and Shane loses. But then, the next day on Raw, Shane is in control of Raw. And then, the next week, he's in control of Raw again. And my guess is, he probably will be in charge of Raw again tomorrow. But I guess we'll find out. But in the meantime, Undertaker was supposed to go on this European tour. And you got to think about all of the guys that are injured and out of action. John Cena's out of action. Seth Rollins has been hurt. So Undertaker was going to be, Daniel Bryan was going to go on the tour and he pulled out. So Undertaker was the big draw of the European tour. We've had no information whatsoever about the guy being injured, but originally he was going to go on the entire tour and then they cut it to 2 dates and then they cut it now to 0 dates. Something is going on and I don't know what it is.
Like I said, I want conspiracy theories to happen.
It has nothing to do with the Illuminati.
You sure about that? You don't know that. He's the undead.
Fairly certain.
Do you think it's something more devilish? Do we need an Anton LaVey follower? Or you know, is it something with Kane? Does Kane have a movie coming out? Does this play into See No Evil 2?
This person
or 3, whatever they're on?
It's like 4. This person says, what about the PG issue of using the Bullet Club name? I imagine as WWE is a product aimed towards kids, that name wouldn't be good for PR. Also, the parental backlash of their kids using the name and making gun gestures with their hands. How about Roman Reigns' top babyface having a move called the drive-by? Referencing drive-by shootings. I don't think that's the main concern here with Bullet Club. I think it is a legal issue. They don't have the rights to use it.
Besides, you know, if they're concerned about that, they have all this stuff. If somebody lets them know that they've screwed up, they could go with a French Canadian group, and it could be the Bullet Club.
Oh yeah, the Bullet Club.
The Bullet Club. Maybe see that's why Rene Dupree dropped the lawsuit that he had about the royalties from the WWE network, and it got dismissed. They reached an agreement where they're going to have him just kind of sitting to the side, and we'll let you know when we're ready. But if this whole thing doesn't happen, we got a spot for you, Bullet Club.
Anyway, I got a text message here.
Mm-hmm.
Any updates on Daniel Bryan or his potential health situation? I think the Daniel Bryan story is the exact story we've been thinking about for a while here, which is he just doesn't want to be around wrestling. I mean, he's training jiu-jitsu and some mixed martial arts training, obviously not getting hit in the head, but he's out there doing stuff. It's not like he had some sort of health issue that has left him bedridden. I mean, he's doing stuff, physical stuff. So I would presume that it's exactly what you would think if you watched that Daniel Bryan 24 episode or whatever. Thank You, Daniel was the name of it on the WWE Network. I mean, I watched that and all I could presume was this guy just doesn't want to be around wrestling. It's way too painful. And so I think that that's what the story is with Daniel Bryan. I don't think there's a whole lot more to it than that. He just doesn't want to be around wrestling right now. And based on everything that's gone down, it's not difficult to understand why. It's very painful for him. This person says WWE can call them the Wizards Club.
Ha ha! You have no idea what any of that's about, do you?
No, but they said you'd get it, so I presume it's sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Washington Bullets changed their name.
Oh, to the Washington Wizards? Wow.
Yes, Abe Poland was very upset. They're the high crime between Baltimore and Washington, and he wanted to change the name. They went to the awful Wizards name, which many fans have been trying to fight against ever since. But yes, it is now the Washington Wizards.
Ring of Honor has got their shows coming up with New Japan. Global Wars on May 8th. We've got a show on the 9th in Michigan, 11th in Toronto, and the 14th in New York City, all in May. And among the New Japan stars that are coming, Tetsuya Naito, the current IWGP Heavyweight Champion, which is his first time ever in ROH since winning the title. Tomohiro Ishii, who is the ROH Television Champion. Kushida is going to be there. He is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Okada, Tanahashi, and Liger also coming in. So make sure you get your tickets now. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Running out of time here on the program, but fear not, we're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, of course, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. You can hear us all over the place. We got affiliates over the air, all over the country. Sirius Satellite Radio on Sundays. You can check us out on TuneIn Radio, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network. If you've got the TuneIn Radio app, that is the easiest. You can also check us out, sportsbyline.com, wrestlingobserver.com. We stream through there as well, live and free. Daily replays at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. We do have one other text message here. If TNA closes down, who gets the tape library? Well, they would sell it. But I don't expect TNA to close down. I would expect that there will be some sort of change in ownership. But who knows? It is all speculation until it happens. But as noted, Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer last night for subscribers, it appears that things are happening. And I believe, as he noted in the daily update, we're coming down to the final hours here. So in the next few days, we'll obviously have a lot to talk about here on the program. So make sure you bookmark us. Save the channel on your TuneIn Radio app. Just search Sports Byline USA. You can hear us every day, Monday through Friday. And of course, if you're not a subscriber, sign up. Free downloads as a subscriber of all of the shows. You can podcast them to your phone, commercial free. And we also do extra bonus shows, 18 to 20 shows every week, everybody. 8,000 shows in the archives. It's ridiculous. So if you love the show, head up to WrestlingObserver.com, sign up, and you will never run out of audio. And that is it from here. I want to thank everybody at Byline, Mike, as always. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network.